Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Give you look with me, Philippians chapter number 1. I'm going to let you remain seated. The Bible said this, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Pay attention to the way he shifts everything in verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Who is Paul talking to right there? He's talking to the church at Philippi. And he says this, when I really think we could say it this way, as the founder of the church, I know I'm not the founder of the church, but Paul is writing to that church. And he says this, when I think of the church, when I think of you, here's what I think about. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank him. You know what he says? I just praise God for you. That's what he's saying. He said, I thank God for who you are. Look what he says in verse number 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. I find that interesting. I'm going to say more about it in just a minute. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident, boy, I love verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Father, help us today. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When you come to the book of Philippians, you'll find that it is written by the apostle of Paul. And you'll find that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. This is during one of Paul's imprisonments. Paul ends up spending around 17 to 18 years incarcerated simply for sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, simply for preaching the gospel. That's the reason that he is incarcerated. And Paul, during that time, writes numerous letters, and this one to the church at Philippi is one of them. Despite his circumstances, the epistle, whenever you study it, overflows with joy, gratitude, and encouragement. Matter of fact, the book of Philippians is often referred to as the epistle of joy. Matter of fact, you'll find that no less than 17 times the word joy or rejoice is mentioned in the book of Philippians. Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia. Matter of fact, the church there was the first Christian church established in Europe, according to Acts chapter number 16. The Philippians, whenever you study it out, had supported Paul financially and spiritually throughout his ministry. And this letter, he is writing back to the church at Philippi. He is writing to the Philippians, and he is saying this, I want to express my deep appreciation and my deep gratitude and my love for everything that you have done for me. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is simply saying this, I wouldn't be where I'm at as far as in the ministry if it wasn't for people just like you. Paul said the reason that I've been able to preach the gospel, the reason the gospel has had a furtherance is because of you. Paul in this writes to encourage them to stand firm in their faith and exhort them to humility and a Christ-like service. He reminds them to rejoice always and find contentment in the Lord. And he thanks the Philippians for their generous support. So here's what I want to do for just a few minutes this morning. I want to take Paul's address to Philippians and to the church at Philippi these first few verses and just say thank you for everything you do for me. That, can I just say this? That's scriptural today. That scripture, I'm preaching the Bible today. That's exactly what Paul does in the beginning of Philippians. He says to the church at Philippi, hey, I thank you. I appreciate you. I am where I am today. Sure, it's by the grace of God, but it's also because of you. Let me show you four things and we'll go eat barbecue. Number one, I see a thankful remembrance. Look with me in verse number three. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice this. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request. Know what he says. With joy. Paul remembered the believers with gratitude, not with complaint. He thanked God for their thankfulness or for their faithfulness to him in the ministry. Can I say this to you this morning? When I think about Amazing Grace Baptist Church, I can truly say, as Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. It was a thankful remembrance. I'm around a lot of preachers and around a lot of pastors. And the first part of this week, I'll be around a lot of pastors again. Whenever I'm around some of them, Brother Stan, it seems like every time you talk to them, they're complaining about their church. They're complaining about this one and about that one, and they're complaining about this and that, and nothing ever is right, man. It's always just a complaint. I wish I would have recorded this because you could have heard it for yourself and not me just tell you the story. But on Tuesday morning, I was teaching to about 60 or 70 law enforcement chaplains in the North Carolina Sheriff's Association or the Chaplains Association with North Carolina. And I was talking about character and ethics, and I was dealing with that. But in the beginning of it, I introduced myself and what I do. And I said, first and foremost, I'm a Christian. First and foremost, I'm saved by the grace of God. Somebody say amen right there. Then God called me to preach. Then God gave me a wife. Then God gave me children. So it's God, my wife. Somebody say amen. Then my children. Then comes the ministry after all of that. And I want to say that here's what I told him. I said, I absolutely love pastoring Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I said, I have no desire to pastor anywhere else, to go anywhere else. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. So can I say this to you today? You should feel good about yourself. Because I don't complain about you everywhere I go. Paul says there is a thankful remembrance. You know what? If we're not careful, now I want you to listen to me real good right here. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves looking at two or three that gets a little sideways every once in a while. And can I just say this? They're just human. It would really do us all good to understand that. Every one of us sitting here today is just human. Every once in a while, somebody's going to get a little sideways over something. And if we're not careful, we'll look at one or we'll look at two and we'll forget about 225 that's going, hey, preacher, what's the next step of the journey? Let's go to the top of the mountain. Here's what the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I see a thankful remembrance, but number two, I see a joyful partnership. Not only a thing, and I told you I just jotted some things down. I see this. I see a joyful partnership. Look in verse number five. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship means, whenever you study it out, a joint participation. And he is dealing with working together for the gospel's sake. They were not spectators, but they were servants. Can I say that again? The church at Philippi was not spectators. They were servants. They just didn't show up, come in, sit down, and run right back out the door. You know what they was interested in? Man, they was interested in being partners and the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about this morning, every Sunday morning. I text every one of the preachers out of our church every Sunday morning. If they came here and they left here on good standings every Sunday morning, but Jonathan will testify to that, every Sunday morning I text them and say, hey, I'm praying for you. If one of the guys are preaching out, one of our other men are preaching out, I always try my best to make it a habit to text them either on Saturday night or Sunday morning and say, hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. Preach the house down today. But I text every one of them. And you know what that is? That is a joyful partnership. You know, as I stand here and preach to you today, in Dobson, Brother Chris is preaching. In Mount Airy, Brother Heath is preaching. At Pilot View, Brother Scotty is preaching. In Allegheny, Brother Granville is preaching. In Willis Gap, Brother Josh is preaching. On and on I could go with the preachers out of our... You say, preacher, what is it? Man, it's a joyful partnership. We get to serve the Lord together. We get to do this together. There's no big I's and little U's in the service of God. You say, well, if I can't be on the platform, I'm not going to serve God. That's probably the reason that you're not on the platform. Can I just say that again? That's probably the reason that you're not on. Well, if I can't be the limelight, if I can't be the show, I'm not going to be part of the show. Hear me and hear me well. That's not the way the church operates. Yes, God does set a pastor over it. Yes, there is those in leadership with him. But there is no way it could happen if we all didn't come together and work together. Yesterday morning, I got up early, and I read my Bible a little bit, and I fed the dogs and walked the dogs, and then I came back home for a little while, and then I don't know, probably I guess it's about 8:30, 8:40. I walked back up to the church. The men was up here working, and I walked in, stood around, and talked to them. Talked to the guest preacher, Brother Tim. Said, "Hey, preacher, it's time to pray over the meal." And you ain't never heard a bunch of men get so quiet all of a sudden, just that fast. I prayed over the meal, and man, they was sausage gravy and biscuits, and there was that had to be whole hog sausage. That wasn't no fake stuff yesterday. They was bacon, they was eggs, they was coffee, there was orange juice, and you know what? Brother Tim didn't do every bit of that. I promise you, I didn't do none of it. But you know what happened? There was somebody said, "Hey, Brother Tim, if I can help, I'll be glad to help." And you know what Brother Tim said? Brother Tim said, "Preacher, what do you think about us men getting together and eating a little breakfast and having a Bible study?" I said, "Man, I think that'll be great." And you know what happened yesterday? Man, we sat around and feasted on the Word of God and feasted on manna from above and all that food. Somebody say, "Man, it's togetherness. It's togetherness." I thought about, man, the past 3 months, what we've done in visitation at Amazing Grace. It's been unreal, the doors that we've knocked on. And you know what? I said this whenever Brother Elijah gave the totals the other day. I didn't organize one bit of that. I just got to show up. Let me tell you the reason why. Somebody said, "Hey, preacher, if I can do something, let's just partner together. I don't have to be recognized. Just know that I'll be in my place." I'm preaching good this morning. He deals with a joyful partnership. In recent days, I can't tell you the people that's come up to me and bragged on Amazing Grace Baptist Church. They've bragged on the grounds. They've bragged on the building. They've bragged on the humility of the people as they came in and they visited here. Missionaries that's talked to me, it says, "We don't get treated like this." That's I mean that in a good way, okay? And a funeral home, the guys at the funeral home love to come to Amazing Grace. Let me tell you the reason why. They know everything's going to be taken care of. They know if we're expecting a big crowd, they don't have to worry about it. They're going to have people. We're going to have people in the parking lot. Everything's going to be put together. Hey, it's a joyful partnership. I thought about this. I wrote this down. Let me read it to you. And if I miss something in this, don't get mad and leave the church. Every Sunday morning at Amazing Grace, there's at least 11 Sunday school classes going on, so that's a total of 22 Sunday school teachers. Every Sunday morning, at least, now it's just Sunday mornings. I'm not dealing with Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. It's just every Sunday morning. At least 11 Sunday school classes. Sunday morning during the worship service, there's a nursery. There's a 2 to 4 year old kids church. There's a 5 to 11 year old kids church. There's two people usually running sound, someone running a live feed, 3 or 4 men on the safety team, a lead guitar player, a rhythm guitar player, an electric guitar player, a bass player, a piano player, a music leader that orchestrates all of that and makes it happen, around 60 people in the choir, 3 or 4 on the hospitality team, a parking crew, van drivers, someone walking around putting out little fires, like something like this. The commode stopped working. The commode won't flush. Something stopped up. Water's leaking through the ceiling. A light won't come on. And there's always somebody walking around that's putting all of those little fires out. And each Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I walk around and shake hands and talk to people, walk up on the platform, listen to a choir sing in the power of the Holy Ghost, listen to great special music, and then get to stand up and preach and act like I've got everything all together. And you know what everybody sees? Boy, that preacher's got it all together. He ain't got a clue what all really goes on. There's not hardly a Monday that goes by that one of those people, one of those firemen that's walking around putting out little things, calls me and says, "Hey, I wasn't going to bother you yesterday, but I was just going to let you know I took care of this for you." You know what that is, church? That is a joyful partnership. A joyful partnership. What did the Bible say? He said, "For we are laborers together with God." There's a thankful remembrance. There's a joyful partnership. But then there's a confident assurance. Look in verse number 6. He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Can I just say this to you? What God started, he'll finish. Can I just say, that's simple. What he started, he'll finish. There is a confident assurance today. I thought about what the Bible said. It said this in Hebrews chapter number 10, or chapter number 10, chapter 6, verse number 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What did he say in Matthew 16:18? He said this, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Say, "Preacher, I'm going to tear the church apart." I don't think you're going to. Let me tell you the reason why. God said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if we'll keep him priority in the church, he'll take care of the church. There's a confident assurance. In closing today, there's a loving connection. Look what he says in verse number 7. "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ." There is a loving connection that Paul had back to him. A loving connection. Paul loves the church, or Paul's love for the church was a personal love. He held them in his heart with an affection and with prayer. I thought about this. Paul just didn't serve as the administrator of the church, but Paul loved the church. Paul just didn't go in and try to straighten everything out, but Paul loved the church. Now, there's times that Paul does come down with a swift hand and talks to them very swiftly whenever you study the church epistles. But you know what he does? He does it out of a heart of love. Let me tell you one reason that it hurts so much when you get done wrong as a pastor. Because you love so much. Can I just say that? Because you love so much. Last night we was in here and it was Leslie and I and Madeline and Mason, and we was looking at two or three things about her wedding and talking about two or three different things. And I looked at them and I called an individual's name and I said, I just don't understand it. I said, still this day, I said, I don't understand it. I said, what did I miss? Where did I go wrong? I don't understand it. Let me tell you the reason it hurts so bad sometimes, because you love so much and you invest so much. I get told this so many times by older pastors, you're too close to your church. You're too close to your people. And I'll just say something, when you love somebody, it's hard not to be close to them. You know what, some of you sitting in this room one day is liable to cut my heart out. But you know what I'll do? I'll be confident. And that he which hath begun a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There is a loving connection. I mean what I'm fixing to say. I'm closer to some of the people in this room than I am my own family. You spend more time with them. You with me? You spend more time with them. You talk to them more. They call you more. They lean on you more. You say, well, preacher, I'm not close to you like that. That's not my fault. Are you with me? It's not my fault. The truth of the matter is this. Jesus had an inner circle. He had three that he was closer to than anybody else. So don't fault the preacher for having an inner circle. Jesus Christ had one himself. Are you with me today? There was a loving connection. Come, Miss Tanya, and start playing, if you will. From the first day until now, Paul is saying this. God has been faithful, and he'll continue to be faithful. Know what he says in Philippians 4:17. He says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. What is he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying to the church at Philippi, he's saying it's not really that I desire you giving me something. Now, everybody shake your head up and down on what I'm fixing to say. You're human. And we all like to get a little something every once in a while. Shake your heads up and down. Are you with me? But Paul said, it's not that I'm desiring a gift. Paul said, I'm desiring fruit abounding to your account. What is that? It's simply this. One day we're going to get to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to get to heaven. If you're not saved, I'm glad that you can get saved today and you can go with us to heaven. And I want fruit abounding. You say, preacher, why do you preach world missions to us? Preacher, why do you preach giving to world missions to us? Here's the reason why. Because I love you, and I want some fruit to abound to your account. And when you get to heaven one day and you've given to world missions, you know what? They may be one of those Spanish kids from Mexico where we're fixing to go in just a couple weeks. No doubt we'll see people saved. I've already thanked the Lord for it. I truly believe that we will. And you know what? One of those kids may just walk up to you in heaven one day and say, hey, you don't know who I am, but you gave to get Brother Danny Ward to the mission field in Mexico for years. And because of that, God saved my mom and daddy out of a different life that they lived in Mexico. And they took me to church. And at that church where you help build and you give, that's where I got saved. That's where I got married. That's where I raised my family. Yeah, that's where my family got saved at. So I just want to say thank you. Forget. Paul said it's not necessarily I'm desiring a gift. I want fruit abounding to your account. I wrote this down. The older I get, I didn't write that down. I forgot to. Some of y'all will get that in a minute as you get older. you forget to. I'm going to do that. Well, I forgot to. I wrote this down. And the older I get, the more I write things down. The more I read the things that I write down. And here's just the way I wrote it. Church, I want you to know I love you with all my heart. You're not just a congregation to me. You're my family. Every prayer you prayed, every song you've sung, every hour you've served, it all matters, and God has seen every bit of it. I stand here as a thankful pastor, but I'm also a hopeful one, because I believe with everything in me that God isn't done with Amazing Grace Baptist Church. The same God who started this good work will finish what He started. So let's not grow weary, let's not slow down, and let's not lose heart. The greatest blessings we've ever known might be just ahead of us and just around the next corner. Let's stay faithful, keep pressing on, keep serving with joy, and keep trusting with one who's never failed us. The best days of the church, I truly believe, are not behind us. But I truly believe the greatest days and the best days and the most fruitful days of Amazing Grace Baptist Church could be standing right in front of us. So let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.